Phil Muscatello and FinPods are authorized reps of MoneySherpa. The information in this podcast is general in nature and doesn't take into account your personal situation.
Shares for beginners. Weekend watch list.
G'day and welcome back to Shares for Beginners Weekend Watchlist, where we take a close look at an individual company that you may wish to consider for your watchlist. It's not a recommendation to buy, but a way for you to learn how Stockopedia screens for value. Joining me today is Elio D'Amato, and we're talking Tuas Limited, ASX code TUA. Good morning, Elio. How's it going?
G'day, Phil. Look, incredibly well. I mean, what a great pop that we saw in its share price. And obviously, investors are wondering what this Tuas actually is. And of course, as with most stocks on the ASX, if you scratch a little bit beneath the surface, you learn a great story. And I think there's one attached to this business here. And it's also a good lesson in highlighting how Stockopedia really brings to the fore and brings to everyone's attention what's actually going on. Because, of course, looking at the numbers is like looking at the soul of a business. And I think that's the case with the TUA.
Yep, and it had that, like you referred to yesterday, a 12-point-something% spike on a single day, which is a pretty good number, isn't it?
Yeah, better than a kick in the teeth, I've got to admit that, especially for a business that's got a market cap well and truly above $1 billion. For those that are keen watchers of the market, of course, they will know that the company released its half-year report, and it actually came up quite strong. Not only were they able to narrow their loss, but more importantly, in my view, they were able to grow the cash on hand, and they continue to grow their subscribers, and they're continuing to power ahead. It's a pretty focused business, as you know, Phil, and I'm sure we'll talk about that in a moment. But suffice to say that it looks like a bit of a jewel in the old TPG crown. I'll say that because they're not part of that institution anymore and really have their own growth story that they're carving out quite aggressively and quite strongly. So it's well done to them, and I think that share price pop we saw was justification for the story that is playing out there.
So when I had a quick look at the annual report, I've got to say it's one of the least sexy annual reports I've ever seen. There's not a lot of sizzle there. It's obvious that they haven't, produced that team of copywriters and graphic artists to make it all whiz-bang. Mm. It's just very, very basic, which maybe is a good thing, hopefully, for a company and story.
I've always said, Phil, that CEOs are just glorified marketers at the end of the day. Ultimately, they're trying to sell their business to the billions that's floating out there in the ether, as it were, in order to get it attracted into their business to continue to invest in them and thus increase the value of the business and no doubt increase the value of their bonuses. But that's another story. But Tuas or TUA is a very different beast. And I think part of that stems from its reclusive CEO, David Teo. Founder of the business, and he is traditionally known by many market observers as being understated. He doesn't like to blow his own trumpet all that loudly, but he's very successful in business. And if there's anything about telecommunications he doesn't know, then basically it ain't worth knowing in our view, because it's just wonderful how he continues to power ahead. Just some simple graphs, simple imagery. You're not bamboozled with the whole lot of BS, as it were, and it really makes sense. And I think the market somewhat appreciates that, particularly when the numbers are going northeast, because it's really easy for everyone to understand the growth trajectory that this business is on. So unsurprising to us that it's done as well as it has. But yeah, as you say, the reports that it produces aren't the most inspiring. I think even the half year was even more simplistic than that previous full year you were looking at, Phil. So they make no apologies for that. And quite frankly, as a shareholder, I don't care either. Just keep doing what they're doing and I'll be happy.
So tell us the Tuas story, which obviously goes back to TPG originally.
Yeah, that's correct. So it was part of TPG all the way up to 2021. And again, for old stock dogs like me, you'll remember that TPG acquired Vodafone. And when those two conglomerates came together, it had to spin out the Singapore TPG business. Now, on that, when they eventually did spin it out and effectively listed it on the market as a separate entity, and shareholders of TPG at the time also benefited from that, David Teo made a conscious decision that effectively the growth engine of the business moving forward was that focus in Singapore rather than the more established, already quite large, grown, taken from zero to hero business, which really was TPG, and it was a stellar company that many junior analysts like myself had to cover way back in the day, and we sort of made our name on the back of the great performance of this company. So when effectively come the end of December 2021, when a large portion of David's shares were sold on the market, that's TPG, that is, and then subsequent to that, his shock resignation from the board of TPG in the middle of 2022, it was unsurprising to see the majority of his focus move to TUA, to Tuas, because ultimately, though the Singapore market and Tuas is essentially effectively focused on Singapore, it doesn't have interest in the Australian business at all, and it's not doesn't really care what we're doing over here, other than the fact that it's listed on the ASX. They're growing that business quite aggressively. And when you see the metrics that it's able to produce, further confirmed by a pretty solid half-year report that saw the pop in that share price, one has to agree that in terms of backing the jockey, that definitely rings true in this instance here, that obviously moving from that more sluggish business to now this more dynamic grower is definitely floating the boat of investors, and its share price reflects that. As mentioned, not just on that big pop, but even in the lead up, because let's face it, it's had a very strong 12 months and investors should be happy.
And the company's all about 5G and broadband, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so. So, like I mentioned, telecommunications is really where their focus is. And it used to be TPG, Singapore, for all intents and purposes, but that fixed broadband business is now named Simba. And they also have that 5G business, and they're growing aggressively that network. And the other, you know, pleasing thing to see is that across the board, they are continuing to grow the number of subscribers that they have. I mean, for example, with their mobile services, they're just under 1 billion users now of their particular service. Of the fiber business, they're looking to up the quality of that. Now, I'm not going to, again, bore everyone to snores with the technicalities of this, Will, but let's just throw an arbitrary number out there. And let's just say here in Australia, we have a very slow NBN network that I'm not going to enter the politics of this, but suffice to say that it's going to have to be upgraded to meet the future needs of the world at some point in the future. Don't know when, but it's going to have to happen. Well, you take places like, say, for example, Canada, where it's already significantly higher. Well, there's now a new 10 network, which is going to be rolled out in Singapore, which effectively is the future bee's knees of fiber optic cable. And that really allows for super fast, incredibly low latency, amazing uploads and downloads as well, of course. And that is currently being undertaken in Singapore. And therefore, as a result of that, TPG are, or Tuas, I should say, sorry, that was a slip of the tongue, they are directly going to benefit from that rollout as they continue to grow subscribers and continue to broaden out their network. And they already have quite extensive coverage to a degree, but they're looking to even boost that. So, yes, there's a lot of capital expenditure, but geez, when you see their cash balance rising over the last 6 months when everyone else almost across the world is talking about the rising cost of doing business, et cetera, well, here's a company right at the coalface where they are seeing rising costs in terms of spectrum and using the internet, et cetera, and servicing it, looking after it, and building out the network, and yet they were still able to grow their cash flow, which is a direct response to their ability to grow subscribers. And as a result of that, that's been hitting the bottom line. And again, that's what investors were so happy with when they saw that half-year report drop, because notwithstanding it's a loss-making company, they say profit is vanity, sales are reality, but cash, that's king. And if that keeps going up, I think you'll find the share price of this will do so as well.
Looking at the numbers on Stockopedia, it looks like a momentum story, because you see the up in the top right-hand corner, everything's just kind of in the, you know, in the middle, but it's got this high momentum score. With that spike yesterday, how long does that take to show up in the Stockopedia momentum score?
Look, that's an excellent question, because what we're talking about here now is actually seeing the published numbers of the company inserted into Stockopedia. And one of the things with momentum is that that tends to be our most frequently and updated indicator. So obviously, leaning on price quite a bit, that comes through straight away. Half of the momentum score is made up of relative price measures, you know, the relative strength over a month, the year, looking at things like how close the stock is to its 52-week high, et cetera, et cetera. where the price is positioned, moving averages, and a range of other things. The other thing that it uses within the momentum score are analyst upgrades. Now, of course, the analyst fraternity traditionally has sort of poo-hooed Tuas because of David Teo's rather large shareholding in the business and the fact that they're not necessarily the most transparent in a lot of people's views. We also incorporate analyst upgrades to the stock. So I'm a little facetious with this one, Phil, because you see, I often tend to think analysts will upgrade their forecasts to sort of make it a little bit more rational and reasonable to where the price is going rather than actually be a dictator of where the price should go moving forward. But nonetheless, upgrades to that will tell you more than the absolute number. And I think you'll expect that to start coming through in the next few days. If this was a heavily covered company like a BHP, you'd expect that to almost be relatively instantaneous, both in the price and the analyst upgrade. With someone like Tuas, well, the price is done straight away. The analyst upgrades will probably start coming, and we think that could possibly be increased by more. But you're right. Momentum's what's been driving this business. I mean, no way I can really sugarcoat it. It has a score of 96. That is still very strong. It's likely to remain strong once those analyst forecasts do filter through. So it is unlikely to see that being an immediate changer for the business. The, you know, die-hard on the wall value investor might look at someone like a TUA and say, look, unfortunately, with an enterprise value of $1.7 billion, an EV to EBITDA of around 55, you're never going to see this stock ever pay you back before you die. And that is true too. And the quality or momentum investor will say, well, you got to pay to play if you want part of a quality story. And that is, you know, something that aligns with TUA's background. So yes, this recent high to 52 and all-time highs is definitely 52-week and all-time highs is definitely good. But yes, you are definitely paying to play. And if you look at the value score at the moment, it's 31. That will change because some of the value metrics are included in that latest half-year update, which are yet to make their way into Stockopedia. And then you've got quality, which is tends to be the more stable of all the three indicators because that only gets updated when the company actually reports its numbers. Once we get the ability to insert those, not just sales, I know everyone likes to focus on those sales updates, Phil, but the reality is when you're assessing a business, you need to look at the costs, the liabilities, their expenses, all those sort of boring things that no one really cares about. But the good news is there's a tool like this to help you assess that pretty quickly once those numbers are actually inputted into the system and we can assess them. And, you know, it wasn't that long ago. I mean, we just rewind back 12 months ago when the company released its result and its share price was half where it is now. And the overall stock rank, which is the combination of all those three particular drivers, was actually above 80. 85. So once you're in the top 20%, we are definitely saying you're in the upper echelon of businesses in our share market. And Tuas was one of those. Now, of course, what's happened is the share price has gone straight up northeast. And what that has meant is that the value metrics has come down, given the inverse relationship the two have. And what we've now started to see is that that value is starting to dissipate. Well, if they're able to come, once we see those published numbers and see them quite strong, and that should usually, particularly outside of reporting season, usually take around 24 hours. Once we get the chance to monitor those numbers, if it returns to that upper echelon again, investors just can't continue to keep ignoring it, given the strong growth trajectory that the company seems to be on. So it ain't just about picking the stock that ranks 100 and then seeing how that goes, because that never works as a strategy. In fact, if you tell me you ever do that, Phil, let me know because I'll sell the stock straight away if I still have it. But definitely up there in the fundamental ranks. Even the fact that it's never made a profit, it still ranks quite highly on that quality score because of that cash flow generation that I was talking about. It's never going to be top, but I tell you what, it still ranks quite highly relative to everyone else, which is, of course, what our stock rank scores are. They measure the company against everyone else on the stock exchange. So, and that's where Tuas comes good. So not only do you have a story that gets you excited, but it would appear on the surface that the numbers being produced support that. We eagerly await the half years to be inputted into the system to then make that overall assessment.
Are you picking shares on gut instinct? buying on press tips or rumours? Do you struggle to find the time to keep up with the research and analysis that goes into evaluating potential stocks? Stockopedia are pleased to offer a special deal to listeners of this podcast, a 14-day free trial and a 10% discount on the first year of membership. Sign up now at y.stockopedia.com/sfb. There's no better time to access the most comprehensive, easy-to-use investing toolbox for DIY share investors. 10% off, 14-day free trial, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's y.stockopedia.com/sfb. And Tuas, of course, is just outside the ASX 200. Is there any chance of it hitting that threshold to be included in the ASX 200 and get that kind of indexing effect?
Oh, look, to be quite frank, I couldn't care less. In fact, if it gets added to the ASX 200, it probably means the share price has gone up even a little bit more. So I'm going to be happy. Should it be included? Look, there's a whole range of different rules that relate to a stock being included into the ASX 200. Part of that is the amount of free float that is available for the stock and how easy it is for investors to get in or out. And for good reason, David Teo, who currently owns around 40% of the business, I dare suggest is going to be pretty keen to continue to hold on to his interest and is not looking to offload anytime soon, which means effectively there's only 60% for you and I and the likes of us to be able to play around with the stock. So the long and short is, if it was going to remain as is, it'd always be a borderline case. If it kept going up, it can't be ignored anymore. Probably have to be added into the index. If it comes down, then that'll probably save a headache for those index watchers that are out there. But I'm a firm believer that it is the fundamental trajectory of the business which is driving the price at the moment. Yes, well, being added to the ASX 200 would be a nice little support adjunct. In our view, it's the company performance that's really driving the price at the moment. They keep performing, the price will reflect that.
And do they have any competition risk in Singapore? I know this sector is full of regulatory requirements. Mm-mm. So does that help them or hinder them?
A little bit of A, a little bit of B. So obviously it hinders them because they have to be met. And there are other telco providers that they do compete with. Where it actually helps them is it ensures that not anyone can just start up. There is a huge amount of capital expenditure which goes into a business like this, particularly with Tuas, because they're not only having to spend a capital expenditure on the mobile network, but also the fixed line network. But that also insulates them from potential other competitors coming in and trying to take that space because of that significant large investment. It's less so about the competitive drivers at the moment rather than their ability to continue to grow relative to the size of the pie that's there. I mean, obviously, Singapore on their national growth trajectory as it is. But when you look at Tuas, their network is still very much emerging. There's a lot more market share for them to be able to take over. Their broadband network is being expanded to a wider region at the moment. I think about half of the country or a little under the half of the country in terms of kilometers, square kilometers is covered. So there's a bit more growth to be had there. And therefore, because of those drivers, we feel quite comfortable that notwithstanding the existing incumbents, that TUA still has a potential upside in regards to achieving more market share. And then when you also add the fact that it's pretty hard for anyone else to come in and replicate a network like that, that puts it in a good light in our view. But it is a growth story and investors need to remember that. They need to remind themselves that if they are expecting a dividend, they're probably going to have to be waiting a little while. But you know what? David Teo decided to move all his eggs from one basket into another because of the excitement that relates to this growth story. And I tend to also feel the same. And once the dividends are starting to be paid, Phil, of course, then that becomes a different question for the growth investor because dividends, rather than being profits when they're being generated or cash flow, when they're being generated, if they can't be invested into a business to even amplify your returns even more and they're being paid out of dividends, then you really need to ask your question, is your capital in the best spot at that time? And that's a whole money management question that you've covered on the podcast with others and, yeah, needs a whole episode to itself to discuss because, of course, any monk can pick a stock. It's managing money. That's the thing that differentiates us.
Yeah, it's all about capital allocation, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so.
So in their reporting, as you said, they're very basic. They don't give you lots and lots of fancy graphics. They're just all the basic numbers. So run us through the numbers in the latest report.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, everyone's eye always immediately goes to revenue. And the fact that from the first half of 2022 to today, which is the first half of 24, that they've able to double the size of their revenue is incredibly strong. The fact that they did reduce their profitable loss, I suppose, a bit of an oxymoron, but their loss was actually reduced. Back then, it was some 13.4 million, whereas nowadays it's 3.5. And the trajectory, and like I said, most pleasingly, cash over the half year grew from 44 to 47 million. So every chart that the company produces on the few that they do issue is showing that things are going in the right direction. And I mean, pleasingly from our perspective is that not only are they continuing to broaden their reach and that, you know, particularly Simba still has more potential for expansion there, but all those cash flow drivers are strong. So the company said in its rather short outlook statement that it expects to be cash flow positive come the end of their financial year, which again will be another positive. They expect to see mobile users continue to increase. Hopefully it will get above that 1 billion mark, which we anticipate, and therefore that will be hitting the bottom line. Notwithstanding the CapEx of being just below 50 million, the rollout or further continued rollout of that Simba fiber network is also incredibly pleasing. So the fact you're growing cash, that you've, yes, you're telling everyone what your capital expenditure is, which is still a lot cheaper than being here in Australia, I can say that for sure. And that network expansion, all those numbers are looking pretty good. And of course, you can leave the finer detail to the analysts who want to cover that rats and mice. But I mean, at the top level for most of us that are putting our money down, the numbers still continue to look quite strong. We'll be driven by sentiment. It is being driven by momentum. Fingers crossed once we assess those numbers and when they come through Stockopedia that they actually do reflect the wonderful business that this is.
And presumably because of the geographic size of Singapore, there's far less in terms of infrastructure investment that's required as compared to, say, here in Australia, where you've got to try and get Yas to have the same amount of broadband as Sydney or Melbourne.
Yeah, very much so. And, I mean, I think at the moment on the mobile network scale of things, it's something like 60% outdoor coverage in all of Singapore. And, look, you know, people might, you know, poo-hoo that, but I can remember when TPG was that even less back in the day. So there was a reason why David Teo saw the opportunity in regards to the potential growth of this business. And that can't be ignored, particularly with someone of his pedigree and what he was able to do at the previous institute that he was at. So that 60% coverage basically extends to around 80% on a nice sunny day, which of course in Singapore it tends to be, unless of course it's rainy season. So, I mean, that's quite good. Their fixed line network, as I said, is just under half of the country at the moment, and that's expected to continue to roll out. You can't ignore the fact that 10G fiber that they're rolling out is going to be a big winner for them moving forward. As with all telcos, it's not about what you do today. It's about what's coming tomorrow. And in that instance, that looks very exciting. And as you mentioned, the country of its size versus an expanse like Australia, where it's miles and miles between capital cities, just means it's more of a profitable opportunity for the company. So, yeah, in our view, those metrics in terms of its operating environment are definitely more favourable there than they would be here.
And by the way, no disrespect to Yas, it's a lovely little town and deserves the best broadband it can have.
Yeah, I have been through Yas quite a few times. It's an absolutely lovely part of the world, but having met a few of the locals, I don't think they'll be offended, Phil.
Elio D'Amato, thanks very much for joining me today.
Thank you, Phil.
Thanks for listening to Shares for Beginners. You can find more at sharesforbeginners.com. If you enjoy listening, please take a moment to rate or review in your podcast player or tell a friend who might want to learn more about investing for their future.